Going to have a little bit of fun. We can do that in church, I think. So we're going to do a little bit of fun. We're talking vehicles, excuse me, have a very influential place in our lives. You know, you probably used one as you came to church this morning. I'm assuming that you didn't walk to church. You rode in a vehicle. And a vehicle says a lot about a person, right? And even at times what we do is we formulate what we believe that a person is like based on what their vehicle is that they're driving. Maybe you don't think that you do it consciously, maybe you do it subconsciously, but we have these ideas about the person that is driving. So I'm going to put up a couple of pictures on the screen, and as you see them, they're of a vehicle, and I want you to say what you think that says about the person who drives that. What would you think that person is that drives that vehicle? Okay, so we're going to do that. Now, again, I'll say this. Appropriate words. We are in church. So here's the first one. What do you think about this person? An adventurer. I like that one. Yeah. Outdoorsy. Okay.
In debt.
In debt. Oh, wait. Probably a man, okay. As we kind of say, it's probably a guy. Okay, so you got an idea. Okay, so now, let's see the next one. What do you think about this one?
Soccer mom.
Soccer mom, not a man. All right. Smart. What's that?
Busy.
Yeah, we often do that. We put that, mom is always busy. Absolutely. Okay, how about this one? If you're wondering what this is a Prius hybrid. Tree hugger. Yeah. Eco-friendly, as some will say, that like to hug trees. That's how they'll put it. We'll put it. How about this one? Oh, yeah. Single. It was funny because in first service, someone said, an angry wife. Others said, happy man. So you got that. Okay, how about this one?
Rich.
Okay. Rich, famous. All right. How about this one? Midlife crisis. All right. Now, this is the one where you would say in debt, maybe. But yeah, okay, you think rich, again, you have all that. All right, how about this one? College student, all right. Ready to explode, yeah. But it's interesting, we have them. How about this one? Nobody would ride that one? There's still people that actually do ride that, just maybe not here. But isn't it interesting, though, how we have thoughts about people who ride these different vehicles? We think different things about them, connotations about who they are, what they must be like. And we probably have no clue who is actually behind the wheel of that vehicle. We place value on them. For example, when you looked at those two last cars that were there, one of them you assumed that they were rich or in debt. And the other one you just assumed that they were poor. We place a value on people. You know, it's that thing. We have connotations. We have an idea of whether, you know, if they ride a Harley, they're a rebel. If they drive a hybrid car, they're a tree hugger. If they drive a minivan, they lost their man card. Now, I will have to say, I was there one day. I'm not trying to bash any vehicle that's out there. I did my time in the minivan. But we have these connotations. You know, if they drive a motorhome, what do you think? They're retired, right? And it's like they can travel wherever they want to. So we have these ideas, these connotations, these understandings of what we perceive the people to be like. Several years ago when we were working with youth, we did what was called the alternative prom party. every year. And what that meant was we would have the youth would all come together. They'd get dressed up really weird for the night, and we'd have a banquet, we'd have competitions, but we would travel around to different locations like a bowling alley or a roller skating rink or something like that. And every year, what we would do is we would rent a vehicle that the winners of the competitions would be able to ride in for the night when we would go to different locations. Well, one year we had a gentleman in our church who was a bus driver for the school, but he also got his limousine license. And so he had access to a limousine. He said, I'll tell you what, I will take you guys wherever you want to go for that evening for free. And we're like, that's great. Okay, so we used this. The winners pile into this limousine, and we're driving around. And one of the places that we were stopping that night was Dairy Queen. Have you ever seen a limousine pull into Dairy Queen? Not very often. But what's interesting is when we pull into this Dairy Queen, you see everybody that was in the Dairy Queen parking lot or in the Dairy Queen just take notice. Their heads turn, and they're like, oh, because in their mind, what were they thinking? Somebody famous is at Dairy Queen. So they're looking, they're watching, the door opens, and a bunch of weirdly dressed teenagers and chaperones fall out of it. You could see the disgust in their eyes. That was not what was supposed to come out of there. What we drive, what we ride, puts off some ideas of who we are. 2,000 years ago, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Did it mean anything whatsoever? Well, this morning we want to look at that. We're going to be looking in Mark chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 11. In your bulletins it says Mark chapter 1. Add an additional 1 to the beginning of that. So Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 1. And we're going to be reading the story of what is well known as the triumphal entry. When Jesus came in, Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 1, here's what it says. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you. Just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, say, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied to the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered just as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it and sat on it, many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven! Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open up your word and we look at this story of the day that you rode into Jerusalem, help us to see who you are and how that can impact our lives and how in turn that can be used to impact other lives. Open your word to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a very interesting story, and actually a lot of times what we do is we focus the attention on the people shouting Hosanna, as we know that they're shouting Hosannas and all of these things. They're laying the cloaks down. They're like our kids waving the branches, and within a couple of days they yell, crucify him. And usually that's what we focus on when we talk about Palm Sunday. But this morning I want to look at the vehicle with which Jesus rode into Jerusalem and what that said about Jesus himself. Because understand that there was intention in Jesus riding in on the donkey. What does this show us about Jesus? Or does it show anything at all? Well, one of the things that we know about a donkey is a donkey is an animal of humility. It's not a very popular animal, so it's not one that a lot of people would be excited to ride on. And the fact that it is a animal of humility shows us that Jesus was coming in as a man of humility. This we see throughout the whole life of Jesus as well. Humility was a huge part of who he was. Now, I don't know about you, but I like people watching. Anybody else like people watching? You watch them and you judge them, basically, is what you do, right? One of the things is it's fun to watch in a parking lot. If you've never done that before, do people watching in a parking lot. If you're going somewhere like Fleet Farm after church or something, you know, just sit there for a minute and watch as people come in their vehicles, because you see how different people are as they come in their vehicles. For example, you could see a guy coming in 3 days in a row in three different vehicles, and he will be a different person with each vehicle. He comes in the first day in a pickup truck. And when he pulls into his spot with confidence. He opens that door, he gets out there, and you can just see that he's got the world ready to go. He's going in to get what he needs to do. He's ready to work. He's ready to do his thing. He's confident. He's bold. He's walking in. And you're like, that's cool guy. The next day, he rides in on his motorcycle. And if you watch a guy who rides in on his motorcycle, it's kind of fun because they come in, and there is a difference. They come in and they're just like, yeah, I'm cool. And they pull into their parking spot and they find one of the prime parking spots because they want everybody to see their motorcycle and really be in awe over their motorcycle. And what is the one thing that a motorcycle rider does before they shut off their motorcycle? They rev it, right? They let it... Why do they do that? It's a very simple reason. They want every head in the parking lot to turn and to look at that motorcycle. They're like, they want everyone to go, oh yeah, there's power. That's a motorcycle. And you watch as they get off that motorcycle. They shut it off. They slowly pull that one leg over. They get off. And as they're standing there, they, you know, very slowly take gloves off and they take their helmet. And they're just enjoying the moment as everybody's watching this cool guy. Walks in, it could be 80 degrees outside, and he's wearing his leather jacket. And he's walking in, strutting his stuff, and he goes in and he does his thing. Day three, the guy finds out as he's ready to leave, his wife goes, oh, hey, we're all going today. I've got some plants that I need to get. We're taking the minivan. It's a different guy. Again, there's no bashing of vehicles here. That's not what I'm doing. But you watch how he drives it. He is not like he was on the Harley the day before. He pulls in and he pulls into that spot as fast as he can. He shuts it off. He's out the door. He's halfway into the store before the family even gets out. And he's looking around to make sure that none of his buddies are there in their pickup truck, because they take his man card. It's a whole different guy. Isn't it? It's amazing how we do this. What we ride impacts who we are. Jesus rode in on a donkey. But understand that the donkey didn't impact who Jesus was. The donkey was just simply Jesus saying, this is who I am. I am a man of humility coming in on this day. And you look at who Jesus was, his whole life was about humility. Luke chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in really nice satin blankets, lying in a bed in Jerusalem General Hospital birthing suite. That's not what it says, does it? No, it says you'll find him wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. The thing that animals eat out of, their faces in it, their mouths are touching it. He's laying in this. This is the place where the King of Kings, the one of all creation, he was there, born in a stable, in a manger. Nothing more humble than that. But understand, we could go, well, that was just circumstances, right? A person is born, they don't have any real power over that. I mean, there's been babies born in cars, right? But that was just the beginning. Because we look at Jesus' life all along. Here is the Son of God, Creator. And look what it says in Philippians 2, verses 7 and 8. Rather, He made Himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. You know, when you look at life, how many times have you ever seen royalty give up royalty to become a commoner? Doesn't happen very often. Even in those times we're like, well, yeah, technically they did, but did they really? Understand here that Jesus, He says, I've got everything. I have the throne. I have the power. I have the divinity. I have anything that I want. I could have anything that I want, and I'm giving it all up. I could come to earth, and really, Jesus could have said, you know what? Here's my demands. When I go to earth, I want the biggest house, the nicest house. I want the nicest horse, the biggest horse, the horse that really is regal. I want to have everything that I could ever want, the nice clothes, the matching clothes, all of those things. I want all of that because I am Creator God, and I deserve all of that. And yet, it says that He humbled Himself. And remember that Jesus, He says to His disciples, the Son of Man doesn't even have a bed to lay His head on, a pillow to lay His head on. He had nothing. He gave it all up in humility. And then in Matthew 20, 28, these are the words of Jesus to His disciples. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. He rode into Jerusalem that day as the servant of all mankind, the one who would give of Himself ultimately so that we could have life. He was a man of humility. It also shows that He was a man of peace. You see, what an interesting thing about this story is the fact, again, that we often look at it as just, well, maybe it was easier for Him to steal a donkey than a horse and ride in on that. But actually, when you think, you look back on history, how a king rode into a city said a lot about who that king was. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, the people were shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna, Hosanna. Now what we do is we tend to take that Hosanna and we reflect it as a praise. That this is a praise to God, a Hosanna. Yay, God, You're the greatest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. But do you understand that the definition or the meaning of that word is save us or save now? Those people were asking Jesus to be the coming Messiah, to be the one that would restore Israel back to who they their former self, that He would overthrow the Roman government. And really what they were saying is, you're riding the wrong animal here. You should be coming in on a horse, on a white horse. Because when you ride in on a white horse, what you're doing is you're claiming victory. Whether it's you're coming back from war or you're taking over the city, you're coming as the King of Victory. To come in as the king on a horse was that. To come in as a king on a donkey was a very different thing. Now it says, I'm coming in peace. I'm not coming to bring the sword. I'm not coming to overthrow anything. I am coming to bring peace, not war. This was all of Jesus' discussion a lot of times. I mean, you look at the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus was talking to the disciples and there was all these blesseds. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's about peace. Even as Jesus was there in the upper room in Jerusalem with His disciples in John chapter 14, verse 27, He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And He's like, guys, I'm giving you true peace. I come to be the bearer of true peace. Not the peace that you're expecting. Not the peace that you're wanting. Not the peace that everybody is yelling for. But I am bringing you very different peace. And this is peace in the midst of the storm. This is the peace that goes beyond any idea that you can think of. As a matter of fact, Jesus, even in John chapter 16, verse 33, as He's talking to the disciples, He says, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. But look at the next words. In this world, you will have trouble. That doesn't sound like peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You're going to have trouble in this world. But understand that I came to give you peace, not the peace that the world gives you, greater peace, much more enduring peace, peace that will last for all eternity. And really what that was is he's saying, look, I am coming in to give you the ultimate peace, which is the peace between you and God. Because of sin, that peace has been ruined. So I'm coming in, riding on the donkey, saying that I am coming as a man in peace, because what I'm going to do is in a matter of days, I'm going to hang on a cross. Which actually points us to the third aspect of why Jesus rode in on a donkey. Because it showed that Jesus was a man of determination. He was coming for a purpose. You know, I don't know if you ever pay attention to commercials on TV. You know, nowadays with streaming, it's really nice. You can just bypass that all. But every once in a while, you get a car commercial or a vehicle commercial, right? Have you ever noticed how different vehicle commercials are? Sometime when you're watching, like if you're watching the March Madness and there's all these vehicle commercials, just kind of watch them, because you'll notice something. Each one has a very different purpose, and they actually use the commercials for those different purposes. For example, if you are seeing a car commercial, and most cars like this, I mean, it doesn't matter what it was, but like just a car, a general car, one that we can afford, all right, what do they do in those commercials? What you see is there's maybe one or two or maybe a car full of them, and they're driving down the road and they're driving fast, right? They're usually like, they're buzzing around, you know, they're zipping in and out of traffic, they're going on exit ramps, they're doing all these things, and at the same time they're doing all this, you see them and they're all smiling and they're laughing and they're having the greatest time in their car. And the picture that you're getting is, if you buy this car, you can drive fast, the cops don't care, and you're going to have a lot of fun. Right? So it's like, go get one of those. All right. Then the next commercial comes on, and what it is you'll see that it's the minivan commercial. And what do they do with the minivan commercial? Is mom ever squealing the tires and drifting around corners? No. Most of the time, what you see is she's either dropping a bunch of kids off, about 20 kids are piling out of this minivan at the soccer field, the hockey rink, or wherever it is, and they're talking about, oh, all of the storage, all of the room, all of the abilities, which is great with it. And mom is scheduled. I mean, she has all of her ducks in a row. She's ready for life. You know, and that's what you see. So if you're going to be a responsible adult, you get a minivan. Okay? Then you see maybe the Lincoln Town Car commercial. Right? And definitely not a soccer mom dropping off kids. They're not racing around in the Lincoln Town Car, but you see someone that's driving, and a lot of times it's one individual that looks very successful, wearing a very nice expensive suit, and they're driving down the highway with no other cars on the highway, by the way. They have it all to themselves, and they are just enjoying the ride. So if you're successful, want to wear a nice suit, and have no other cars on the road, you buy a Lincoln Town Car, right? Well, then you see the truck commercials. And in the truck commercials, what do you see on that one? Guy's not wearing a suit, that's for sure. Usually you see the commercial where the truck is in some like construction area, right? And it's towing this payload capacity and all these. It's talking about power, it's talking about torque and thrust and all these things. And then you see this big old tractor dump a bunch of rocks in the bed of the truck, where you know that just ruined the axle of the truck. You don't ever see that on a minivan commercial. Let's dump a bunch of rocks on the top of the minivan. I mean, it doesn't happen. But you see, it's like, it's about power. It's about toughness, and the guy's ready to work. Every one of these is different. Every one is for a different purpose. But you look at them, and they're determined to show something. The truck is determined to get the job done. A donkey is often called the beast of burden, right? Why is the donkey called the beast of burden? Well, there's really two reasons. One, oftentimes it's also a stubborn animal. If a donkey wants to do something, a donkey's going to do it. If a donkey doesn't want to do something, it's not going to do it. But the other thing about a donkey is one of those animals that can carry more than its own weight in payload or stuff. more than any other animal. And so that's why it's called the beast of burden. It's often used for that. Sure-footed, and it's able to carry more than others. And so Jesus is coming in. Now, Jesus wasn't about weight and about all of that, but it was a beast of burden. And here's the interesting part of it. Jesus was showing himself to be the man of determination, the man to carry the burden. The beast of burden was carrying the man of burden. In Zechariah 9:9, we see, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gently and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, this is the fulfillment of prophetic scripture. As Jesus was coming in, he is now fulfilling the Zechariah prophecy. But also understand, notice what it says, the purpose for why he's riding in. This isn't just Jesus saying, okay, I need to make sure that I find a donkey, I need to be a colt, it needs to be the foal of a colt, because I need to make sure that they see me as a... But notice what it says he's riding in. He is riding in to bring salvation. Righteous and having salvation. He is coming with a plan. He is coming to fulfill that plan. And this is a plan that Jesus had shared with them over and over and over again. This is not a story that was new to them. As a matter of fact, prior to Palm Sunday, in Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34... you see this encounter. So it says, "They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. 'We're going up to Jerusalem,' he said, 'and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise.'" Now, when I read that, that doesn't sound like a fun thing. It doesn't sound like a great week that God or that Jesus is looking forward to, because, yeah, I mean, look, he's going in, he's going to be arrested, he's going to be flogged, he's going to be spit on, beat on, mocked. Everybody that's going to be praising him on one day is going to be yelling, "Crucify him," on another day. And all of this is going to happen. And at the very end, he is going to carry the burden of every person of all creation upon him. He's going to take the sins of the whole world upon him on the cross and experience the Father turning his back. And yet, knowing all of that, I love the passage where it says, "And Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem." I can often read past that, but the point that it says is this, that Jesus resolutely turned to Jerusalem, set his jaw, and walked with intention to Jerusalem, knowing full well of what was coming. He was determined. But here's the great part of this. He wasn't determined for himself. Now, I can do things that I would be determined to do if it was something for me, if I knew that I was going to get something in the end. But in this scenario, what it was is Jesus was going to be taking upon himself the burden of every other one, the burden that you and I placed on his shoulders, and he would take that to the cross. The burden bearer bore the burden carrier. He was more than a vehicle. This is the story of God's gift to us. Yeah, those moments had to have been horrible. Those moments must have been wrenching for Jesus to see people that he loved turn their back on him. The pain that he endured during those days as they mocked him, spit on him, hit him, punched him, slapped him, had to have been more than any person could bear. And the reason why he was able to do that was because he was determined to bring life for you and I. It was more than a vehicle. Which brings me to the question. If it was more than a vehicle for him, what is it for us? What about us? What do we do with this? Where do we take this? What's interesting is that today we are the vehicle for the message of Jesus Christ. And we are more than a vehicle because of what Christ has done for us. The fact that He was the one with humility, with peace, with determination, that He would bring this gift for all of mankind, salvation that comes from no one else but through Christ alone. He now says, this is the story that I now place on you, and I want you to take this into all of the world, bringing the light, the gospel of Jesus Christ into all the world. You are His burden bearer. We enter into a very important week. This is the week that really defines what we believe as Christians, why we're here. Without the resurrection, without the cross, without all of what Jesus did in this week, we would have no hope whatsoever. Without Christ, we would not even be here this morning. We would be in a club. And yet He says, here's what it is. I came so that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. We have that message. Are you going to carry that message this week? Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. We celebrate the empty tomb. Come and see the empty tomb. Can I give you something to do? You take from here the story of Christ, the light of Jesus Christ. Take it to somebody who needs to hear about Jesus Christ and invite them to come back next week. Because next week we're telling them about the love of Christ, the gospel message, hope that they don't have right now. Be the bearer, more than a vehicle. Bring the gospel. Let's pray.